This is Cicely Tyson. Robert and Janet were childhood sweethearts. They grew up in a small Midwestern town and began dating in high school. Robert went on to the local college on an athletic scholarship. Janet went to work in a local bank to support herself and her widowed mother. A month before Robert graduated, Janet's mother died. The following week, Robert proposed. The week after that, their old high school offered Robert a full-time job as a coach. And that night, they set a date for the wedding. Their lives were assuming the dimensions their high school yearbook had predicted for them. After all, hadn't he been the captain of the football team? And wasn't she the captain of the cheerleader? It was a perfect match.
Do you, Robert Talbert, take this woman to be thy wedded wife, to have and to hold, in sickness and in health, as long as ye both shall live?
I do.
12 years passed, and the marriage seemed to prosper. There were no children, but Robert's football teams began to win championships, first in the division, then regionally, and finally the state. Robert was handsome and outgoing, and much in demand as a speaker before men's service organizations. He would speak about what it takes to make a winner, both on the field and off. Then, on the night his team won their third state championship, and the first one to be televised, Janet announced that she was leaving him. And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, Hotel Terminal by Percy Grainger. Our stars, Mary Jane Croft and Elliot Lewis.
A marriage of 12 years. By all accounts, a normal one. A marriage housed in a split-level home, nourished on an adequate, if not princely, income, befriended by similar households the length of the block. A marriage cradled in the soft, if not always comforting, bosom of routine. A marriage of two people gliding gently along on the pages of the calendar, the seasons marking the progress of their lives. A marriage that sits on the verge of dissolution. For a week following Janet's announcement, they argued and fought, pleaded, cried as they never had in all the years they had known one another. They accused and counter-accused. They defended and attacked and denied. Hurts that had been forgotten or suppressed burst out. Finally, there seemed to be nothing more to say. And then Janet packed her bag.
That's it?
That's all I need.
One suitcase?
And Mother's old carpet bag. I got a few things in there.
Mother's old carpet bag.
Did you call for the taxi?
Yes. Mr. Willett wondered where you were going this time of year. He hoped there wasn't trouble in the family.
We don't have a family.
He meant your family.
Which branch? The one in the old age home? Or the aunt who never answers our Christmas letter?
Well, it put me on the spot.
So what did you say?
You were going to look at hospitals.
What?
That was all I could think of. You're the president of the First Aid Society, and when he asked if there was trouble, that made me think of hospitals. I said you were going to take a course.
Where?
In Chicago. I said you were going to become a registered nurse. He wished you good luck. He'll be here any minute.
Well, I wish everyone already knew.
Well, if you want a rundown on the reactions, give me a call. I'll be on the front line.
I don't even know what coat to take. Is the train on time?
Who knows?
Well, didn't you
check? Yes.
And?
Yes. Mr. Willett also wondered why you had to take the midnight train.
I could never become a registered nurse even if I wanted to.
So why do I tell everyone? I still haven't got it figured out. What are we looking at here, guys? A separation? A divorce?
Stop treating this like the team is losing at halftime.
It's a pretty good analogy, don't you think?
I guess I'll take the warm one. Probably freezing in Chicago.
You staying with Susie?
Until I get my bearings.
Got enough money?
I went to the bank. Old Mrs. Riddle, she's retiring next week. She was my supervisor when I worked there before we were married. Taught me everything she knew about banking. She believed in advancement.
Well, it's changed a lot in 12 years, I can guarantee you that. You need a college education now just to open an account.
She worked there 27 years. The president of the bank himself is giving her a party at his cabin out on the lake. She invited me to come.
Too bad you'll miss it.
I told her yes.
You won't be here.
Well, I couldn't say anything else. She's such a dear, sweet old woman. God only knows what she's going to think.
You want me to call her?
No. Yes, no. Oh, I don't know. Can't even make a decision. I feel like such a failure. Who's that?
Mr. Willett.
Oh.
Yep, it's him. I can see his cab.
Well, I guess it's goodbye then.
Want me to carry your bags?
I can manage.
Evening, Coach. Your wife better hurry if she's going to catch that train.
She's all set.
Want me to take your grip?
No, thank you.
Wait a minute.
Robert.
I'll drive you.
No.
Just to the station. I'll drive you.
No. It's late. Mr. Willett can take me.
No.
But we agreed.
You better make up your minds. It's almost midnight.
Robert, please let me by.
Sorry you drove all the way out here, Mr. Willett. How much do I owe you?
Well, $3 is what I charge.
Here's $5. That cover it?
Well, sure, but you better step on it.
What's the point?
I just wanted to drive him.
Well, I'm going to miss it now.
Don't worry. Trains never run on time.
You're driving too fast.
You want to make it or don't you? There. There's the station. Can you see the train yet?
No.
So we made it. No harm done.
Evening, Coach. Evening, Mrs. Talbert. What brings you to the depot at this hour?
Janet's taking the 12 o'clock northbound to Chicago.
Well, you just missed it.
What?
She's been and gone, right on time, just like always.
When's the next train?
The next northbound's not till noon tomorrow.
Well, I don't care where it goes. Just give me a ticket.
Well, now, there's the southbound. It rolls through here at 3:10.
This morning?
Yeah.
That's fine. I'll take that.
Well, where to?
Wherever it goes, as far as it goes. You surprise me, Mrs. Pritchard. It's a vacation, so just surprise me.
Okay. And that's just for the one of you?
Yes.
Oh, you're taking a real vacation, huh? Oh, by the way, Coach, congratulations on winning that state championship. You put Hanson on the map.
Yeah. Reckon a person could find their way back here now if they wanted to, couldn't they?
Oh, I expect. Well, now, here's your ticket, Mrs. Talbert. I won't tell you where it's going, but I'll give you a hint. It'll cost you $89.60.
Well, that sounds exotic.
But you got a 3-hour wait, and I'm closing up the station for the night. What are you going to do?
It is nighttime in the late fall. The first chill of winter has settled in. Most of the lights in the prairie town of Hanson are out, but on the platform of the railway station, a single light still burns, and under that light stand two people, a man and a woman.
It won't do any good looking down the track. Train's not coming for 3 hours.
Well, if you let me go with Mr. Willett, I'd have made it.
What's this about a vacation? Is that what this is now?
Had to tell her something. Looks ridiculous enough as it is. I'm not coming back, Robert.
You're damn right you're not coming back. You go now, that's it.
Winners never quit, and quitters never win.
That's right. As far as I'm concerned, that's exactly right.
Well, you don't have to wait here with me. I'll be all right.
You can't stand out here at this time of night, this part of town, all by yourself. It's not safe. There's all those bars around the corner there on East Main. Now, come on, you can wait at home.
I'm not going back there. It took me too long to leave, and I'm not going back there now. I'll check into a hotel.
What hotel? They're all out by the interstate.
There's one across the street there.
Hotel Terminal? That's for bums.
I don't care. I'll wait there until the train comes. Let me have my suitcase.
I'll carry it.
I don't want you to come with me.
I'll carry it over for you, okay? Just carry it over, that's all.
Peter! Peter, wake up.
Oh, what?
If I can't sleep, there's no reason why you should.
What's wrong, Shorty? Room service didn't bring you a nighttime bottle?
Oh, that damn crybaby's going again, and I've had it. This is Saturday night, damn it, and a man's entitled to a break. Even the Lord got to rest on the Sabbath. I pay for my room, and I want some peace and quiet.
Well, I can't shut her up.
You ain't even tried recently.
You shut her up.
How, damn it? I've said every blame thing I can think of to say, and it don't do any good.
82 years old, all alone. I reckon you'd try, too, if you were sober enough.
What'd the state have to go and put her up here for, anyway? Don't they got old age homes?
It's cheaper.
This place has gone straight downhill ever since they made it into a welfare hotel.
You're just gonna have to let her cry herself to sleep, I expect. She usually does.
Yeah. Well, give me a cigarette.
Why don't you go buy your own smokes?
Come on, be a cowboy.
Well, they're right where they always are. If that old lady don't croak soon, I'm gonna go broke keeping you in cigarettes.
You got a light?
No, I'm out. Go around the corner to the bar and get some, will you?
What am I, your slave?
I can't leave the desk.
Yeah, somebody might rent a room.
Go ahead and beat it. Don't be hanging around.
They're probably lost.
Evening, sir. What can I do for you folks?
I'd like to rent a room.
Okie doke. How long you be with us?
Just for the night, for a few hours.
Well, that's fine by me. I got a nice double for you up on the top floor. You won't be disturbed.
I want a single.
Yeah, you mean twins?
I mean single. It's just for me.
Oh.
Excuse me, mister. You got a match?
I don't smoke.
Shorty, go to McRed's bar, why don't you?
Okay.
Okay, ma'am. Now, if you'll just sign a register here. And that'll be $7.50.
I'll get it.
I can pay.
What difference does it make? Here you go, fella. Take it out of there.
Name's Talbert?
Yes.
Hey, you Bob Talbert, the coach? I saw that game last week right here on this TV. Oh, it was a dandy.
Oh, thank you.
I bet you're real sorry you're losing him, huh?
What?
Reese Smith. Oh, that boy has got an arm on him, don't he?
Oh, yeah. Well, we all got to go sometime.
That's right, onward and upward.
What room am I in?
Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. Let's see. That'll be 2E. Yeah, here's your change, coach.
Robert, can I have my bag?
I'll carry him up.
Really, dear, it's fine.
You go on. I've got him.
Robert.
There might be a loose step or two, ma'am. Maybe you better let the coach take him.
What are you doing, Robert? Why are you trying to hang on? There's nothing left. Don't you understand? It's over.
Here's the matches, Dieter. Keep them handy.
Hey, you know who that was? Bob Talbert, the coach of the Tigers.
Yeah? What do you think he's doing here? Having an affair with that lady?
What'd he say, 2B?
2E.
Right. Here it is. You want me to do it?
I can get it.
Good for you.
Just leave the bags out here.
I'll just put them inside the door. There you go. All set. Well?
What time is it?
12:20. Still nearly 3 hours. I'm sorry you missed your train. I didn't do it on purpose.
I know. You don't have to stay.
I know. You want a cigarette?
Please. Thanks.
How about my watch?
What?
You want to take it?
Oh, no. I think I'd rather not know what time it is. Not for a while.
Yeah, sure. Well, depressing place, huh? Hey, gotta pity the poor, rotten losers that end up in rooms like this.
It'd be easier if...
I know. But there's still time on the clock.
This isn't the locker room, Robert. You can't change the course of things with a pep talk. There aren't 5,000 fans out there cheering us on. We're two people, all alone, in the middle of nowhere, with nothing more to say to each other, and 3 hours to kill. That's it, honey. That's all that's left. 3 hours to kill.
People talking in a room. Suddenly a pause. For a moment, no one speaks. In the silence, an angel passes over them. A string breaks with a sound lost to the ear, but not to the heart. And when the conversation resumes, something has changed.
Nothing more to say in 3 hours to kill, huh? Well, maybe you're right. What are you going to do?
I don't know.
You don't even know where you're going.
I don't care.
We'll need to take potluck just to get out of here.
We'll get over it. People do.
That's a real cheerful thought.
You know what I thought when you offered to give me your watch? That I wouldn't feel attractive.
You'll look great. Don't worry about it. It's not your old cheerleading figure, but you wear the right things. You look great.
You really are a pig, Robert. Cut from the whole cloth.
Maybe. But it's what I am. Love it or leave it.
I did. I am.
What happened to us, anyway?
We don't look at each other anymore.
There's not another woman, Jen.
I know. That's not what I meant.
You don't think we could turn things around?
No.
The way it looks to me, we just haven't given it our best shot.
It's not a game, Robert. Don't you see? There's nothing there. There's no common ground anymore.
Why not?
I don't know. Something's gone. Love, maybe. Maybe just compassion. I don't mean just you. It's both of us. There's no common feeling. There's nothing we share.
No? What about our whole lives?
I mean now.
What the hell is that?
Sounds like someone's crying in the next room.
Oh, terrific. Oh,
you're talking too loud.
Hey, let's keep it down over there, okay?
Robert, don't. Sounds like an old woman.
Great. Probably means she's deaf to boot.
Just leave her alone.
What, sit here and listen to that?
Keep your voice down. She'll stop in a minute.
I won't keep my voice down. I got a problem here. My whole life is collapsing, and I won't keep my voice down because some drunken derelict in the next room is sniveling into her beer.
She stopped. You think she's all right?
She probably cried herself back to sleep.
Well, shouldn't we do something?
Like what?
Well, maybe we should tell the desk clerk.
Why? It's none of our business. You can't do anything for people like that anyway.
My mother used to cry like that at night after Daddy died. When I came home from our dates, I could hear her in her room all alone, crying.
Mm. It was her way of trying to make you feel rotten because you wanted to lead your own life.
After a while, I stopped going in to see her. I couldn't bear it. First night I stayed with you was because I couldn't face lying awake at home, listening to her.
You mean it wasn't my long-lost skill as a lover?
I remember. I was so worried someone at work would notice I was wearing the same dress 2 days in a row. Mrs. Riddle did, I'm sure. Oh, I was mortified. But she let on like she hadn't noticed a thing. She always made me feel that whatever I did was the finest thing in the world by her.
That's what you remember?
Right after that, Mother began to stop eating. First she made me feed her like a baby, then she refused to eat at all. Like she knew she'd lost, and I was going to lead my own life.
So long as it didn't offend Mrs. Riddle.
Mrs. Riddle liked you, Robert. She was the one who thought we should get married.
Okay. Sorry. Personal foul.
I've never wanted to be alone.
So now you're jumping on the first train to nowhere. I don't get it. What sense does that make?
I don't know. Probably none. I'm sure you're right.
So why?
I get headaches.
Headaches?
I tried to explain it before, Robert. I couldn't.
If you can't explain something, it doesn't exist.
The headaches exist.
We're not bums, Janet. There's no reason we couldn't make it work out. I'll do anything but go to a marriage counselor. Oh, shut up! You know where that train's going, the one you're taking? Houston. What the hell are you going to do in Houston? Hey, over there. What's your problem, huh?
Robert, leave her alone. You should go down for the desk clerk.
Houston! You wear a man's watch there and them millionaires won't give you a second peek.
Maybe she's hungry.
Hungry?
I mean, maybe she's hurt herself. Maybe she has a broken hip.
So? Don't listen.
Please go down. We should call someone.
Why don't you do it? You want it done? You do it. You're the president of the First Aid Society. Go over. Give her some feminine pep talk.
All right.
Hey, wait a minute. Where are you going?
To talk to the desk clerk myself, if you won't, and to call for help if necessary.
It won't bring your mother back.
That stung, Robert. That hurt.
Oh, cool it, huh? What are you crying about, anyway? Oh. Holy cow, I never heard a sound like that. Lady. Stop it, will you? Lady. What am I doing talking to a wall? I must be nuts. Janet? Oh, good golly, don't you ever shut up. Hey, is this your door? Can you listen up in there? Hey? Don't even sound human. Look, I'm next door here. My wife just went down to see the night clerk. Is there something we can do for you? Did you hurt yourself? Hey, miss, can you hear me? Are you all right? Hey, look, I'm going to come in, okay? Are you decent? I'm from next door, and I'm just going to see you're okay. You got the door locked. Are you okay, then? Could you just tell me what the matter is? You sound like you hurt pretty bad. Do you want to talk to someone? Would that help? I can stay here if you want. My wife went for help. She'll know who to call. It doesn't sound to me like you need a hospital, though. Sounds like what you need isn't around anymore. My wife and I are splitting up. She's taking the 310 to Houston. She doesn't even know what she's going to do. Neither do I. I coach football, but the season's over. What about you? If you want to talk, I'll stay here by the door, okay? Can I? Can I just stand here outside your door?
Cicely Tyson again. And here's the fourth act of Hotel Terminal.
Ma'am? Ma'am? I'm still here. Yeah. It's not much of a place to be if you're down and hurting, is it? My wife will be back up any minute now if you can just hang on. Is there someone we can call? Hey, if there's something I can do, please tell me. If there's something I can say. I know how you feel. You're crying for both of us. We knew each other our whole lives, practically. Went steady, got married. What'd we know, huh? Oh, God, it's terrible when you blow it that big. Hey, she's coming. My wife's coming back. It'll be okay now.
What's the matter? Is she keeping you awake, too?
What?
Here, I'll show you how to deal with her.
Who are you?
Name's Shorty Ebbets. I live here.
My wife. Is she downstairs? Did she speak to you?
Sleep is like protein, you know that? 8 hours has all the vitamins and minerals of a 12-ounce steak, and it's free.
What?
Only we got Miss Crybaby here, who's got no consideration for us regular cowboys like you and me.
Hey, she sounds like she's in a hell of a lot of pain, mister.
I'll say she is. Hey!
Hey! What are you doing?
This is how to deal with her. Hey, Crybaby, this is Godzilla. You want me to kick your door down? Want me to tear it off its hinges and stomp on your back?
Hey, mister, cool it.
You think you're the only one who's got problems? Well, you're not. I got problems, too. I can't sleep. It's no bed of roses on this side of the door either, you know. What gives you the right to lock yourself in? Clarice! You hear me? You shut up in there. You're a no-good name-calling lame-eyed shrike. I should have beat the tar out of you, you hear? I should have broke every bone in your body, you and that damn Memphis truck driver both. I'm a chain smoker, Clarice. I drink the cheapest damn wine I can get. I'm going to hell in a handcart, and it's your fault.
Mister, you okay?
Alice? Alice? Ain't you ever going to give your old daddy a call? Ain't you ever going to come see me again? You don't listen to what your mother says about me, do you? That's the only problem, honey. That's the only thing in the world that stands between me and you. There you go, mister. Now we can get some sleep.
My wife went downstairs for help. Did you see her?
That woman that was with you? She left.
What do you mean?
I mean, she walked out the door.
Didn't she talk to the night clerk?
Well, we said howdy, but she didn't say nothing back. She just went out.
Hello? Excuse me.
Huh?
My wife.
Yeah?
My wife.
Yeah, Coach. I'm with you so far. What about her?
Well, she came down to tell you about that lady upstairs.
Oh, I can't do nothing about that. She's the state's problem.
Where is she?
Which one, your wife? I don't know. She come down a few minutes ago, kind of slow. She looked like she was going to say something. And she changed her mind and went out the door.
You don't even have a payphone here?
No. Phone companies pass us by.
Damn. So she had to go out to look for one.
Well, she won't have much luck around here, I expect. Only phones are in the bars, and they'll all be closed down by now.
So now she's all over creation somewhere. That fellow who was down here before ought to be horsewhipped.
Yeah, I could hear him all the way down here this time. Did you get her to shut up?
She sounds like she's in a hell of a lot of pain.
Ah, it's the same thing every night. They're both used to it.
Doesn't anyone help her?
Well, he does. Shorty, that fellow upstairs, he runs her errands, he does her shopping. They're practically old friends.
What? Why does she cry?
Because she's old. She's all alone. And it's nighttime.
Yeah. Her name is Clarice?
No. That's what Shorty calls her. That and Alice. That's his wife and his kid. I'm sorry she kept your wife awake, Mr. Talbert. I don't reckon this is the kind of place you folks are used to staying at.
Well, she has to catch a train.
The 310 southbound?
She wanted to catch the midnight train, but we missed it. And we didn't figure it was worthwhile to go back home.
Well, that train goes in the other direction.
Pardon?
The midnight goes north.
Yeah. Well, like I say, it wasn't worthwhile to go home. Is it okay if I wait for her?
Sure. Oh, yeah, there's a couch over there in the lobby. Help yourself. It's only 1 o'clock now. I reckon she'll be back before long.
Excuse me.
Huh? Oh. Hello, Miss Talbert.
I've come back to pick up my bags.
Uh-huh.
I'm catching a train. It leaves in a few minutes.
Okay. You been out looking for a phone all this time?
A phone?
For the old woman.
No, I didn't go for help. I just went for a walk.
That's mighty dangerous in this part of town this time of night.
Is my husband still upstairs?
No, ma'am. He come down looking for you. He's on the couch over there. Looks like he's falling asleep. You want me to waken him?
Oh, no. I'll just get my bags.
Want me to give you a hand?
No, I'll get them myself. Thank you for asking, though.
Is that the train?
Yeah. She just pulled in.
Janet. She didn't come back yet?
Oh, she's been and gone. She said not to wake you.
She took her bags?
Yeah. But that train sits here about 5 minutes. It's got to take on the mail. You could get over there and catch her, I bet.
She didn't even want to say goodbye, huh?
Gee, I was going to waken you, but she stopped me. But there's still time.
When did she come back?
Oh, just a few minutes ago.
Just in time to catch the train. So she wasn't looking for help after all.
Maybe she's changed her mind. I'm sorry, Coach.
Sorry? What the hell for?
I guess this flophouse wasn't the nicest place for you folks to be at a time like this.
Well, It was some place once.
Most of them were, Mr. Talbert. Most of them were.
1904. That's when they built it. This was the first stone structure in town.
No kidding? Oh, boy, she must have looked like a castle.
She did. I've seen pictures. There was nothing but lean-tos, tents, and a few wooden shacks. Then the railroad came through, and they put up this hotel. She rose up off the prairie like a castle. It was the finest place in town. I was here once. I came here when I was 14.
Oh, yeah. They had girls here then.
I wrote an essay about this hotel for history class. We all had to choose one of the old buildings in town. We had to do research, find out their whole history, everything that had happened there. Write about it.
Well, there's one thing you gotta say for these old places, they sure were built to last. They may not be much to look at now, but, oh, they sure were built to last. She's gone.
Yes.
Be in Houston, 2:55 tomorrow afternoon. I'm sorry, Mr. Talbert. I guess there's not much to say.
No. That was the problem.
Funny how she is, but sometimes that's it.
Yeah. Well, thanks,
Dieter's the name.
Thanks, Dieter. Say, if you're interested, give me a call next fall. I'll get you free tickets for our games.
Ticket, miss? Ma'am?
What? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were speaking to me.
I gotta punch your ticket.
Oh, here.
So, gonna be with us all the way to Houston, eh?
Yes. I live there. I work in a bank.
Oh, better keep you folks comfortable. You want a pillow?
Oh, no, thank you.
How about a blanket? You look like you're shivering.
No, I'm fine. I don't need anything.
Well, we got a diner, one car forward, and a club car, one car back. That and the facility should take care of you till you're home.
Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, Hotel Terminal, was written by Percy Grainger and produced and directed by Livia Granito. Your hostess was Cicely Tyson. Our stars were Mary Jane Croft and Elliot Lewis. Featured in the cast were Paula Winslow, Vic Perrin, Herb Vigran, and Ed McNamara. John Harlan speaking. The Elliot Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI. Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you by Cortade Hydrocortisone for safe, effective relief of itching, rashes, and skin irritations. Remember, Cortade Hydrocortisone.
This is Leonard Nimoy. Tomorrow at this same time, the mood is no longer romantic. It's adventurous. My kind of story. Join us, won't you?